In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." Those clouds are you and I, ladies and gentlemen. "And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." I agree with you, Brother Riker. We're in that day of a great falling away. But that's got to happen. That's got to happen before the Lord returns. And tonight, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I have good news for you. The King is coming. The King is coming. All things are getting ready. All the nations are lining up. All of the turmoil and the trouble and the heartache and the sorrow and the wars, rumors of war, that's all playing into a part of God's plan to prepare the way for the King to march through the gate. Our Father in heaven, I pray you'll speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for this good church here tonight. Thank you for Pastor Ross and his family. Thank you for the folks of this church that I can start naming names of people that I have known now for over 26 years since I married my wife that have become good friends to me, and all the years of knowing Brother Riker, and what a blessing it was to hear him preach. I pray you'll bless him and his wife and their ministry, and I pray you'll meet with us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I started saying, "In Jesus' name we play." Last night I was preaching and I said, "In Jesus' name anyway." I don't know where that came from. I said, "Anyway." And one of my main church guys is sitting over here, and he just starts breaking up and starts laughing, you know? And he's like doing one of those. And I'm like, "Stop it, brother. Stop it." And he just got redder and redder and kept going. And finally I said to his wife, "Take him to the nursery." You know, I'm getting older. Things just, you know, don't come out right sometimes, you know? And I don't know. I don't remember things often like I ought to. And look at here. I even got to wear these crazy things. When did I ever think that was going to happen? Not only can I can't see much, but I can't hear any either. And sometimes when my wife is giving me orders, that's kind of a blessing, because I really don't know what she's saying. Just the other day she said something. And it's not that my hearing is bad, but when there's noise right there beside you and she's in the other room and she's saying something and I'm hearing wah, 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 wah. And I go, "Huh?" And finally she's gotten to where she's like, "Oh, never mind," you know. And I don't think she's talking to me anyway. I think she's talking to herself, and she's trying to cover it is what I think she's trying to do. We read a moment ago here that the Bible speaks concerning the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." You remember that old song, "The marketplace is empty, no more traffic in the street, all the builder's tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor in the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the King comes through the gate. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and soon his face I'll see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me." Well, that reminds me, that little line there about the trumpet sounding reminds me of that preacher. He'd get up in every service. It didn't matter if he was preaching on Psalm 23. He always would come around to Gabriel somewhere in the sermon, blowing the trumpet and talking about the Lord returning with a shout and descending from heaven with the voice of the archangel. And sure enough, he was preaching on the Lord is my shepherd, and he got off over on Gabriel, and a couple boys had climbed up in the attic. And one of them said to the other, said, "Now I got this here trumpet." And he said, "When the preacher gets to preaching real loud and real hard on the Gabriel blowing the trumpet, I'm going to blow this trumpet. And it's going to mess him up. He ain't going to know what to think. We're going to get ourselves a big belly laugh." I think Don Green was telling the story. And he said, "I'm going to get a big belly laugh." And so sure enough, he started preaching. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "I can almost hear Gabriel as he takes that trumpet and he puts it up to his lips." And that boy, he grabbed that horn and he blew that horn as hard as he could. And the drywall beneath his feet gave way and he fell through the attic and he fell right down in front of the preacher and the congregation, all covered in white. And the preacher got big-eyed and all the congregation got big-eyed. He said, "I've been preaching it all these years, but I never thought I'd really see it happen." But it's not just some story we tell. It's a promise that we cling to. That's what I'm counting on, ladies and gentlemen. I'm counting on the return of the King. And I believe it's going to be soon and very soon that we're going to see the King. What a great song. What a great truth. Jesus Christ, the great King of heaven and earth, is coming. And He's coming again in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 27. Jesus said, "For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even of the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Verse number 32. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." What are all these things? Well, in that same chapter, in verse number 7, he lists them for us. Nations rising against nation. Have you ever seen anything like it? Have you ever seen the unrest in the world that we're seeing today, especially in the Middle East? You understand that the inheritance that God gave to Abraham far exceeds that little postage stamp that Israel is standing on right tonight. And it grieves me. It grieves me that our president didn't have any time for Prime Minister Netanyahu, but he had plenty of time to have a party with Beyonce and Jay-Z. That grieves me a little bit tonight, and that concerns me. I got so fired up about it a little bit the other night at our church. I said, I don't know what we're going to do, but if our country is not going to bless Israel, then our church is going to step up and find a way to do it. And I said, I don't know how we're going to do it. We're going to start a fund, and we're going to start doing something to make a difference in the nation of Israel. Now, I told our folks in this particular instance, I'm not necessarily looking for a missionary as much as I am looking for a way to directly be a blessing to the nation. We haven't figured out how we're going to do that yet. You all pray with us about that. But I decided that, you know, there comes a time. You understand that during the Revolutionary War, that the Baptist preachers had to vacate their pulpit for a little bit, pick up their musket, and go fight for the freedom to preach in their pulpit. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not suggesting that we vacate our duties as God's men and God's people. But I am saying that we need to get proactive in this thing in obeying the commands of the Word of the God, which says, "I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee." Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, it's a shame when we say to those that are in need, "Oh, be ye warm, be ye filled," but we have it in our ability to make a difference, and we keep it to ourselves because we're worried about, you know, the economy. I'm just as concerned as you are. That doesn't negate my responsibility to obey the Word of God. So we're seeing that in verse 7, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famine. I got to go to Kenya last year. I've never seen such abject poverty, and I understand that Kenya is a pretty well-off nation compared to places like Uganda and Somalia and other places in the world. I can't forget, as we were driving to the airport through the city of Nairobi, we took the back way for some reason. The fellow that was driving decided to be better. I don't know what they call a road, but it wasn't a road. He called it a super highway. It was not a super highway. I want to tell you something. It was a cattle trail is what it was. But we went by the city dump, ladies and gentlemen. The city dump with trash mounded up bigger than I can demonstrate for you, and little shanties and little shacks that are built on top of those mounds of trash. And I remember seeing a little girl in a dress standing on top of one of those mounds watching us as we drove by, and I can't get that out of my mind. That's where she lives. Where I throw away my waste, or you would throw away your refuse, that's where she lives. It seems like the more aid we give to these countries, the deeper in poverty they go. It's disheartening. It's discouraging. We've got enough food in America and to spare. If we would understand and come back to one nation under God again, we would see the abundant blessings of God on our land again. I believe that. And we wouldn't have any problem feeding the world. But because of all the political uprising, the reason we're having all of these barriers, we're not able to get the food to those people, is because nation after nation has rejected this book and the God of this book. And America is on the verge of doing that very thing tonight. You understand tonight that America is the only nation in the history of the world that has ever chosen God, the creator of heaven and earth, to be the deity of their land. You say, wait a minute, you're talking about Israel, what about them? No, God chose them. They're God's chosen people.
But America said, God, God of the Bible, creator of heaven and earth, we understand that our rights do not come from government, but we have those certain unalienable rights that come from our creator, endowed to us by our creator, correct? And when America said that, America took off, and America has a history of being blessed, unproportioned to any other nation in the world. Other nations said, no, we'll choose this insect over here, and we'll choose this animal over here, and we'll choose this big ball in the sky over here, and we'll choose this mountain to pray to over here. And those countries went down, 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 and America went up, up, up. But we're on the verge of joining them. Pestilence, earthquake, tsunamis, we've never seen anything like it. Verse number 42, Matthew 24 says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. He says, when you see all these things happening, he says, keep your eyes open. Look up into the hills from whence cometh your help. Because he's coming back and he will come soon. He's made that promise. And you say, well, brother, I've been hearing that all my life. Thank you very much. That helps me. Because the Bible says that there will be scoffers in the last days who will say, where is the sign of his coming? That helps me. You know, Harold Camping, he set a date not long ago. Remember that? Remember that guy? And he said, was it April? I think it was April something or other. And he said Jesus was going to come back. And according to our time, where we were in our time zone, it was 6 o'clock p.m. I remember I was out soul winning that night. I had made an appointment with a couple, and I was talking to them about the Lord. And we were sitting there in their house, in their trailer. She was sitting here, and he was sitting here, and I was showing them from the Bible how to be saved. And I remember them bowing their heads and inviting Christ into their heart. And they said amen. And for some reason, I wasn't even thinking about it. I looked at my watch, and it was 5:58 p.m. I said, oh boy, folks, you just barely made it. They said, what are you talking about? I said, oh, Jesus is coming back in 2 minutes and you just got in. Now, I'm not going to set any dates tonight, but I'm saying tonight, this could be the dawning of that grand and glorious day because Jesus is coming soon. How do I know? Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear. Now is at stake. Humble your hearts to God. See, saves from the chastening rod. See the way pilgrims trod. Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. And it's preaching like that, ladies and gentlemen, that got a hold of this country and started those revivals you were talking about, my friend. It was preaching like that that kept us close to the Lord and kept us right with God. We've stopped preaching on the second coming of Christ, and we've started philosophizing, and we've started giving our folks psychiatry and psychology in many of our churches these days. And we wouldn't even call them churches. God wouldn't, because they're emerging church like you're talking about. We'd rather quote Dr. Phil than Dr. Jesus. God knows we got a lot of problems to deal with. People are coming up with some weird and crazy ways to sin against God these days. Now, I'm a relatively young man. Right? I'm a long way from 70, but I've been an independent Baptist. That's what I was born into. I don't mean I was born an independent Baptist. I was born saved. That's not what I mean. You know that's not what I mean. Stop messing with my preaching. You know what I mean. I was born in a Christian home. And John R. Rice, you were talking about, was my dad's hero. My dad came out of the Southern Baptist Church, and he got a hold of the coattails of John R. Rice and Jack Howes, and wow, what a ride it's been. And he said, you know, he said, this is what I believe. I believe what they're preaching. You know what they were preaching? They were preaching the return of the King. That's what they were preaching. They were warning us. They were telling us he could come back at any moment. And we'll tell you something. Preaching like that keeps us on our toes. Because the Bible tells us, and I'm not mistaken, your church is named after that, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The whole idea is to be careful how you talk, be careful how you walk, be careful where you go, be careful what you do, because Jesus could come back at any moment, and you want to be right with Him when He does. And we need to understand that tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the saints will rise. And righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. News of the soon coming King. Jesus is coming again.
Hey, we've stopped believing that. We've stopped looking for that. We've stopped living for that, ladies and gentlemen. We're going through life. We're consumed with all the problems. I understand. But we're getting our eyes off of the problem solver and we're putting them on the problems, ladies and gentlemen. That's a dangerous place to be. I'm not saying that we just throw caution to the wind and just, you know, go out here and be ridiculous or nothing. But I am saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's high time that we stopped and we realized and we stayed in the book and we read the revelation and we read the scriptures that Jesus told us to be very, very up on tonight. It'll help us to stay close to God and it'll help us to stay encouraged in this very discouraging time in which we live. Now, can I tell you something? It's always been bad times. God knew, Brother David, God knew when He made you and He made me that we're going to live in this time. He knew that. And I want to tell you something. The light shines brightest in the darkest of night. I'm thinking of a young man back in the Old Testament at the end of the darkest time in the nation of Israel. A little boy is born to a mother who comes to the tabernacle and prays and pleads for this child. And Hannah, the Bible says that Eli blesses her and she goes home and she conceives and brings forth a son and his name is Samuel. And 1 Samuel starts out talking about how that when Samuel was ministering in the temple and it makes this phrase, it says, and ere the lamp of God, what? It almost went out, didn't it? It was the priest's job to keep the wicks trimmed. It was the priest's job to keep the olive oil in the lamp. It was the priest's job to keep that lamp clean so that it would shine bright. And the darkness was enveloping the nation of Israel. It was bad. Eli had stopped standing for the truth, and his sons were profaning the temple. And in that darkness, can you imagine this lone little boy? Away from his mommy, away from his daddy, given to the watch care of a priest who's given up and given in to compromise. And the darkness in the tabernacle was a reflection of the darkness in the land because the motto of the people was, and there was no king in those days. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But in the midst of that darkness, Samuel, it was in the darkness that God spoke to one boy who hadn't corrupted himself. One young man. You say, just one young man? What can one young man do? Ladies and gentlemen, he became priest, he became prophet, and he became judge, all in one office. He did something no other man had done at that time. Got it out. I got braces about 6 months ago on my lower teeth because my teeth were crowding real bad and my front tooth was starting to push forward and the dentist told me if I didn't fix that tooth was going to do like that and my wife said, I ain't kissing a toothless old man. I said, hook up those appliances and crank them down. So every now and then I get to preaching and I get to talking in tongues. But that's better than what Alvin Martinez did to me the other day. You know Alvin Martinez? He sent me a text in Spanish. He goes, oh, sorry, wrong person, texting in tongues. Texting in tongues? We can do that? Ladies and gentlemen, the first time he came as a redeemer. The second time he comes, he will come as a ruler. The first time he came to an old rugged cross. The next time he will come to wear a crown. The first time he came to a tomb. The next time he comes to a throne. The first time he came to a manger. The next time he comes to a kingdom. The first time he came to Rome. The next time he comes to reign. The first time he came to be despised. The next time he comes to be praised. The first time he came to comfort. The next time he comes to conquer. The first time he came in peace. The next time he comes in power. The first time he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But the next time he comes for his own. Ladies and gentlemen, he is full of glory. He is faithful and true. He fights in righteousness. The Bible says his name is a name of mystery. His name is a name of ministry and majesty. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I'm looking for his return. And ladies and gentlemen, it's about time we realized Jesus is coming soon, and his coming is nearer than we think. We need to be ready. Now tomorrow night, I want you to come back, and I want you to bring somebody with you if you can. I'm going to try to preach a message tomorrow night unless the Lord changes my mind. I think it's a very important message. I've kind of reserved it for tomorrow night, and I hope that you'll come and listen. But tonight, as we end this particular night, the beginning, I guess your beginning started last night, but as we end this service tonight, you've heard two truths from the Word of God be preached. Matter of fact, this preacher, he just preached it from cover to cover, didn't he? He was talking about going first because he knew he was going to get to preach it all. I'm going, there ain't nothing left. But he told us not to remove the landmarks. He told us to keep the home strong. He told us to keep the church in the forefront of our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, my message to you tonight is Jesus is coming soon. He expects us to do all those things. And when he comes, he wants us to be ready. I think one of the most discouraging verses I've ever read is where Jesus asked the question of his disciples, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? And the way I read it, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is, there was so little faith, he had to come. Ladies and gentlemen, may it not be said it was because we dipped our sails. May it not be said because we lowered our standard. But rather, may it be because we were looking and longing for his return. And he said, I got to go get him. I can't wait to have him with me. Our Father in heaven, I pray you'll work in this revival this week. Thank you for these dear people who've come out tonight. I pray you'll do what only you can do through the preaching and through the praying in the power of the Holy Spirit as we gather here together. In Christ's precious name, we ask and pray. Amen.